Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get ready for the 2022-23 Florida Panthers season. It's Panthers Preview.
Parkoff, top of the circle, in front, Verhage shot, he scores! Connor Verhage has given the Panthers the lead!
Now a three-on-one developing in a hurry. Verhage, the puck carrier near side across. Giroux in front makes a move, and he scores! Claude Giroux!
On the home of the Panthers, AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Here is the voice of the Panthers, Doug Plagans.
Special right here on 560 Sports WQAM. We do it every single year, and it's great to be back with you once again. We've got an exciting couple of hours for you as we prepare for what should be an exciting Florida Panthers season. Doug Plagans, Billy Lindsay here with you as always. We'll be with you all season long, and here in the next couple of hours, we've got a big season preview show for you. Coming up next segment, our friend Jamison Olive from the Territory Talk podcast from FloridaPanthers.com. He's been out at training camp every single day. We are going to hear from him coming up in just a little bit. Coming up at 7 p.m., a man who's got his finger on the pulse of the South Florida sports scene like not many others. One of my favorite associates from the Associated Press, Tim Reynolds, going to stop by. I had a chance to catch up with Panthers forward Sam Reinhart yesterday after practice. We'll hear that conversation coming up around 7:25 or so. And the world-famous Twitter segment, Talk Show Edition. We're going to get to that coming up later on in our two-hour season preview spectacular. So at 7:40, 7:45 Eastern Time, we will get to your tweets. So if you have questions for me, for Billy Lindsay, questions about the Panthers, anything you want to bring to the table, we'll get to what we have time for coming up later on. In the middle of all that, Billy and I, of course, are going to break down the Atlantic Division, look at some of the storylines heading into the season. But first, we're going to lead off the program speaking to my friend and yours, Panthers President, CEO Matt Caldwell, joining us here in just a moment. But lots of excitement, Billy. I know we're always excited to tee off a new season. And, well, tomorrow, the final home preseason game, 7 o'clock. And then games get going for real a week from tomorrow, Billy. Yeah. They count in the standings.
Yeah, let's get going. Let's get after preseason. I'm sure the veterans on the team getting through this preseason, the rookies trying to make an impact and get their statements. It's more valuable for them, for the veteran players, and Paul Maurice, the coaching staff, just trying to find line combinations, get everything to fit together. And I can tell you from experience, being a veteran player, getting through that preseason, that's a nice feeling. Right, getting ready for that first game, that puck drop, finally, you know, the reality is about to set in.
And we are just about through the preseason, and I believe we have our guest ready here in segment number one. Well, Panthers President, CEO Matt Caldwell, kind enough to stop by. And, well, Matt, first, tomorrow the Panthers have their last home preseason game. Tampa Bay come to town. Obviously, there's always a buzz when it's the Panthers and the Lightning. Doesn't matter if it's preseason, regular season, playoffs. But, Matt, before we get too much into talking about the season, not only tomorrow a chance to see the Panthers on home ice in the preseason, but also a chance to support a great cause, Hurricane Ian Relief. We'll be contributing to the efforts there tomorrow. Matt, welcome in. And again, a great cause to support tomorrow evening.
Yeah, Doug, as always, thanks for having me. Good chat with you. Yeah, it's horrific what, you know, the West Coast of Florida has been hit with. And, you know, there's always a risk of hurricanes here in this general area. So, you know, I think, you know, by now we've showing the community that, you know, we're always there for them. We're always going to try to help out, and our owner's been super supportive. So, you know, we just announced that we're, you know, donating all ticket proceeds for the game Thursday towards the relief. We're doing a drive before the game, so it would be a great way to, you know, come out, enjoy a preseason game, get back, and, you know, help my friends out on the West Coast. And we're playing Tampa too, like you said. So, you know, it's good tie-in with them.
Matt, Billy here. You had that amazing season last year, the President's Trophy. Can you really describe the excitement around this team, the new additions coming in, coming into this new year, and kind of the buzz around town that it's generated off after that last year?
Yeah, Billy, thanks for chatting with you. You know, good hearing from you, and thanks for having me on as well. And listen, last year was magical. You know, the franchise has never won a President's Trophy. It was an incredible regular season. I know a lot of us are still disappointed with, you know, the loss in the second round, but you know, we did win our first round, and I think it's been like 26 years. Listen, we're progressing. We're getting better every year. You know, the last few years have been, you know, the team's just making strides forward, and the stuff is not built. You know, you look at Colorado, you look at Tampa, those teams, you know, had several years of good seasons, good deep runs in the playoffs. You know, you just got to keep building on it. So, yeah, the excitement's been phenomenal. I mean, I've said this on a number of different outlets, we're at all-time, you know, records in every revenue category, you know, that the franchise has ever had. So, we've surpassed anything that we've done in the past, from ticket sales, partnerships, you know, all the, you know, ancillary revenue that we have around the arena. You know, we just crossed over 11,000 season ticket holders for next year. So, you know, more than half the arena is already season ticket holders. So we're fired up about that. And, you know, we're making a lot of great strides. You'll see when you come out to the arena for opening night, you know, there's going to be a lot of changes with new partners and some new food options. And I think that's all. So it all goes to the excitement. Like you said, Billy, it's been a wonderful year, and, you know, guys were bummed, you know, nobody more than our ownership and our staff that, you know, we weren't able to get past the second round, but we rebounded, and, you know, fans have been, you know, really supportive, which is great. So we're excited to get going. I can't believe the season's already here.
Yeah, it's coming quickly. Panthers President, CEO Matt Caldwell, kind enough to take some time out for us here tonight. And Matt, there's going to be a new face behind the bench for the Panthers this season with Paul Maurice. And going back to the introductory press conference, I know the word and the phrase that Bill Zito used quite a bit was that it just seemed like the right fit right away. He was just such a great fit. What's impressed you the most as you've gotten to know Paul Maurice here a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things. Just communication, intelligence, has a real clear vision of what he wants to accomplish. You know, listen, the experience level, it's hard to replace experience. He's been around the game for a long time, and he's very sharp with veterans, with younger players. You know, he really is just so versatile in how he approaches the team. And but you know that it's we're learning a lot. You know, we've been at this now for, you know, 8 or so years. Sports ownership it's gratifying and it's exciting, but it's also challenging. You learn something every year. And you know, not every personality, not every coach, not every GM is going to work with every ownership or every team or every franchise. So it is all about fit. You know, we knew that as soon as we met Bill during a very thorough, you know, GM process. And you know, Bill hadn't been a GM before, right? So we didn't have a track record of being an actual GM, but he looked at his career and everything he did, and just the way he carried himself and the way he thought about the game, we just knew it was going to be a great fit for us. And sometimes I think that's even more important than what someone, you know, has done in a particular role. And so I think the same could be said with Bill when he did his process. And, you know, there's a lot of big names that are out there that he spoke with, but with Paul, you know, the direction we want to take the franchise, the things we want to do, you know, on and off the ice, he just felt like he had found his coach that, you know, would just be very much aligned with him. And, you know, we supported Bill the whole time. He ran the whole process with his staff. And, of course, we got involved, you know, at the end when he got down to Paul. But it's been great. I mean, listen, we're still in the honeymoon stage, right? We're still in training camp, right? Like, we're going to have moments of, you know, games and some losing streaks and some tough moments, but everything's been so great, you know, so far, and yeah, we're all excited and aligned.
Well, Matt, I played with Keith Tkachuk, and I got to tell you, when I played with Keith, he was one of the most colorful, gritty personalities that I ever came across in the game. And it seems like his sons, Matthew and Brady, haven't fallen too far from that tree. Now, Matthew Tkachuk, the big offseason move comes here. What are you looking most forward to with the Matthew Tkachuk era starting down here in South Florida? Because I know, speaking from experience, when I played with Keith, he was one of a kind. He's a gem, and it seems like Matthew fits that same bill.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll repeat what a lot of the hockey folks have said. You've probably seen it out in the media. You know, there was a big Athletic article on us, I think it was today or yesterday. You know, people call him a unicorn, you know, of a player that, you know, he's can score, he's got grit, he's like he's this power forward. Billy, you're familiar with them, that it's rare to have that combination of skills and grit and toughness to compete, and you know, it's very apparent that that's what you need in the playoffs. That's what you need, you know, to go deep. And we had a great team last year, wonderful folks. You know, it was very close knit. But you know, we want more and more. We want to win a Stanley Cup, and we dug in, and we just felt that, you know, this was the type of player that we needed to take the next step. So we're excited about it. I mean, he's got, like you said, a colorful personality, a lot of swag. I think it'll be good for our locker room. And I know Bill and the coaching staff is excited to have a guy like him.
And Matt, as we talk to Panthers president and CEO Matt Caldwell here, a couple more for you before we let you get going. I know it's a busy time of the year here as we ramp up for the start of the season. But Matt, we've been using the word excited a lot, and I know it's because we are all excited naturally here this time of the year. But something that's been in the works now going back, really a couple of years is the All-Star festivities coming to South Florida. How excited are you to be able to showcase South Florida, you know, when the eyes of the hockey world are focused on the All-Star game? We're going to be right down here with all of it right here at, you know, at FLA Live Arena.
Yeah, this has been a long time coming. I appreciate you bringing that up. We had did a lot of work to get the bid, the All-Star bid, and the local county and cities like Broward County, Fort Lauderdale, Sunrise, Coral Springs have been really supportive of us to bring the All-Star game here. And we did a lot of work, and we applied, and we got selected. And then, of course, COVID hit, so we haven't had a chance to have it for a couple of years. But we're finally relaunching it this season. And they had the game last year, but we opted to wait to this year. And I just think it's a wonderful time. You bring all the, you know, the stars and celebrities and the whole league, and you know everybody's going to show up to South Florida for the All-Star game, right? So most teams and their staff and players will be here, and I just think it's awesome for the community to have an influx of these folks and showcase what we have. We're very proud of what we built as a team. We've come a long way. We're excited about hosting the league and being at the centerpiece of that, and we're excited about, you know, South Florida as a whole is really blossomed post-COVID. You know, a lot of people are moving here, businesses are coming here, and I think it's just perfect timing to host a marquee event like this.
And Matthew, I got Matthew Tkachuk, Maddie. Matt, the last big one. Actually, you talked about the Athletic article. I read an article today on ESPN and talked about all the teams and their infrastructure and starting to build practice rinks and really starting to value the off ice training and stuff that goes on to it. Now you got this big war memorial project coming on, and I know it's also, there's going to be more to it than also the Panthers practice rink. It's going to be such a dynamic place. But where are things at with the war memorial project, and how are things progressing?
Yeah, it's progressing well. It's a dynamic project with a lot of moving pieces. You know, we just like a lot of other development projects, we got slowed down with COVID and supply chain and labor shortages. But you know, we're targeting, we're hoping to be open, you know, by the end of 2022. But it's looking more and more like a kind of early, you know, first or second quarter of 2023. So, you know, we probably want to have the team in there for, you know, this season, or maybe we do it, you know, towards the end of the season. But it's going to be fabulous. The practice facility, of course, is going to be state-of-the-art, first class. We're going to have two sheets of ice, very community-driven, public skating, youth hockey, figure skating. We're going to do a number of learn-to-play, learn-to-skate programs. Bill, you helped us a lot with these programs to help grow the game. We're going to have a restaurant there. We're going to have, typical, concessions that you would see in a rink. And then we're also renovating the current auditorium that's there and putting in a 4,000 capacity music venue, partnering with Live Nation. So there's a lot of different aspects to this project. I'm not aware of any other practice facility that also has a music venue attached to it, but we thought it'd be a great element to add to the project. It's right downtown from Lauderdale, middle of Holiday Park, so it's going to be when it's all said and done, it's going to be a great project for the community.
Panthers president and CEO Matt Caldwell, kind enough to take some time out for us tonight, and I know Matt, we're excited about everything we've discussed here. We're ramping up for a season. Hard to believe, as you said right off the top, that already 1 week and 1 day from now, games are going to count in the standings for the Florida Panthers. No, we can't wait to get going. And again, we're just thrilled that you took some time out for us tonight. Matt, thanks so much. And hey, we look forward to seeing you here very soon. And again, thanks for taking some time out for us tonight.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, of course. Great chat with you guys. Have a good night.
Thanks very much. Panthers president and CEO Matt Caldwell stopping by. And, Billy, what we covered there, on the ice, off the ice, away from the there's something going on everywhere that is positive, that's exciting, that pertains to this Panthers team.
And that's Matt Caldwell and the job. You talk about a busy job and having to oversee a lot of stuff. Matt does pretty much everything and is right at the top of it, does a fabulous job for this club and moving along and getting all these projects and getting everyone excited for this upcoming season. So a lot of pieces starting to fall in place for this Panther club. And the big thing that really stuck out with me just talking to him there that he was just so bang on about was just kind of Panther fans and the disappointment of last year, but knocking on the door.
Yep.
And it's something that we haven't had. And getting in the playoffs year in, and we were just begging to get into the playoffs. Okay, so now we get in a couple of years in a row, and he alluded to Colorado. It took a little while for them to get there.
Three straight second-round exits for Colorado.
Yes, and then also with Tampa Bay getting swept by Columbus after they just tore up like the Panthers did during the regular season. You got to learn, and you got to be able to, but the Panthers are in a shape and presence in place now that they can continue to keep knocking on that door this year, the next year, 4, 5, 6 years. It looks like they should be able to be in that mix. And more times you get there, more experience you have, the more opportunities you have. Then eventually you just hope that you're no longer knocking on that door. Finally, you can go in there, just come in and just kick that door down with everything that you got. But the Panthers are set up, and some of the moves made in the offseason were addressed to design to get better in the playoffs. And Matthew Tkachuk is one of those guys that kind of fits that bill. So it's important to say that, and all the other stuff that he said moving forward with the excitement around the team, the War Memorial Arena coming up. There is so much happening here in this hockey community that we just have not seen in recent memory around the Panthers, which is so exciting from that standpoint. If you're a Panther fan and coming into the year excited about this team again, and again, it's just, and all the experts talking, and you're in there with the Stanley Cup conversation. You're
a contender.
You're there. You're a contender again. So we'll see how the chips fall out and look forward to the start of the year.
So the Panthers, of course, wrapping up their preseason home slate tomorrow, 7 o'clock, against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then they'll close out the preseason schedule, 4 o'clock in the afternoon from Tampa on Saturday. So just as far as those games go coming up, tomorrow's game, there will be a stream of it on FloridaPanthers.com. But first and foremost, we'd love to see you out here at FLA Live Arena. By the way, we're doing the show from right here in the broadcast booth at FLA Live Arena. And if anybody was interested in where we physically are right now. But tomorrow, 7 o'clock, Panthers and the Lightning. And as Panthers president and CEO Matt Caldwell just mentioned there, all the ticket proceeds will be going to the Hurricane Ian relief efforts. So, of course, tomorrow we have that, and we also encourage fans attending the game to drop off donations like water, non-perishable food, hygiene supplies, blankets, pillows, air mattresses, anything like that to the JetBlue tarmac prior to entry. All the items collected through the Panthers supply drive tomorrow will be donated to hurricane relief efforts across Florida. So, again, a chance not only to watch the Panthers and the Lightning tomorrow, but also come out, support a great cause, and help everybody on the other side of the state that really was hit pretty hard with that storm last week. So a chance to, again, help provide some relief efforts coming up at the game tomorrow night. So make sure to bring out some of those hurricane supplies. Ticket sales proceeds going to go to the hurricane relief. We'd love to see you out here for that. And then Saturday's game is going to be a 4 o'clock in the afternoon start. We'll get you started with Panthers preview at 3:30. We'll have all that covered across Dayton Broward County. You can tune in on 99.9 FM HD2. So that's where you can find that game coming up on Saturday afternoon. That's what's ahead for the Panthers. And then it'll be off to the start of the regular season. What's next for us? My friend and yours, Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast, which, by the way, you can find wherever you listen to your podcast. He's going to join us coming up. We're going to take things to the ice. We're going to talk about what we've seen so far in training camp. Jameson Olive joins us next. Doug Plagans, Billy Lindsay here with you. This is our season preview special on 560 Sports WQAM.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rebound, Giroux in front of shot. They score! They score! It's Barkov right out in front, and the Panthers have taken their first lead of the game.
Let's get back to Panthers preview. This is the home of Panthers hockey. AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back here on the 560 WQAM Panthers season preview extravaganza blowout. We do it every single year, and we're glad to have you back on board with us. Doug Plagans, Billy Lindsay here in our usual home away from home, the home radio booth, if you will, here at FLA Live Arena. And, of course, bringing you the season preview tonight. We are going to hear from Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press coming up at the top of the hour. We'll have a chat with Panthers forward Sam Reinhart coming up a little bit later on. Billy and I are going to run through the Atlantic Division, talk about what stood out for us over the course of the offseason. We've got a talk show edition of the World Famous Twitter segment coming up later on in the two-hour block. We'll get to that around 7:40, 7:45. If you have questions, if you have inquiries, if you have concerns, tips for us, whatever you want to declare, you can go on Twitter at Doug Plagans, at Lindsay B. Hockey. We look forward to hearing from you. If you're tuned in out there, we'll be with you up until 8 o'clock Eastern. Reminder, the Panthers are home tomorrow against the Tampa Bay Lightning, 7 p.m. here at FLA Live Arena. Come out, watch the Panthers and their cross-state rivals. Tune up for the regular season. Also help out a good cause. Proceeds from ticket sales going to Hurricane Ian relief efforts. Also be collecting hurricane supplies out in the JetBlue tarmac prior to the game. We hope to see you out here tomorrow. And a guy that I know we will see out here tomorrow is going to join us on the show right now. You know him from FloridaPanthers.com, from the Territory Talk podcast, which you can find at FloridaPanthers.com/Territory Talk, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast, you can find Territory Talk, and you can find this man right here. Jameson Olive, kind enough to stop by. Jameson, how are you this evening, and how is the preseason going for you, my friend?
Yeah, it's going good. I mean, you've been there for a lot of it. The practices have been good. The games have been exciting. I think you've seen a lot of different things through training camp early on. Of course, this is the first training camp with Paul Maurice, so it feels like we've seen so many different line combinations over the last 2 weeks. It's kind of hard to keep track at this point. But I got to say, with so many new things this season, of course, there are a lot of holdovers from last season. You look at, you know, of course, the big boys like Barkov and Ekblad, Bob Nader, those guys. But there's so many this new faces in there, like Rudolph Spalzer, Matthew Tkachuk, of course, that I really, maybe outside of Verhaeghe and Barkov on the top line, Sam Bennett as the second line center, Anton Lundell as third line center, and then the top pairing of Forsling and Ekblad, I really don't know outside of that where a lot of guys could be lining up, but I think we're going to find that out over these next two games against the Tampa Bay Lightning. But I kind of like that excitement. It seems like things are going to be very different this year. Of course, while a lot is still the same.
And Jameson, just taking off from that, being around the team, and what's been your biggest takeaway from training camp, and most notably Paul Maurice and what he's trying to get accomplished with this team early on?
Well, he was working the guys early, and Doug can tell you that as well. I think we talked to a couple guys, and all the guys said, as far as they know and can recall, they can't remember having a harder training camp than the Panthers have had these last 2 weeks under Paul Maurice. And a lot of that, according to Maurice, was very intentional. He wanted to see what these guys could do. He said all their fitness tests were through the roof. He said everyone came to camp really, really in shape. And once he saw that, he said, okay, I'm gonna skate them out there. I'm going to run them through the ringer and see how they do. So the first week, maybe 10 days of training camp, was a lot of heavy skating, especially at the second half of each practice session. All the guys were exhausted. But now that we're kind of getting into later camp, the locker room today was a little bit lighter. Guys actually had some breath to talk and do interviews afterwards. So you can definitely tell there's been that switch to more of a practice-type setting from a training camp-type setting where it's more X's and O's. A lot of special teams work going on right now. But I got to say, Paul Maurice came in here with a mission. He wanted to see what these guys could do. Like I said before, he's been trying a lot of different combinations. He's been intentionally playing a lot of, you know, guys that typically play center on the wing. Kind of trying to get a feel for all these new guys that he's never met before. And he's doing a lot in a short period of time. And I think that's why these camps have been so effective. But I think I have to say the number one word for all of it would be purpose. Everything that's gone on in camp under Paul Maurice has had a purpose. They definitely came in here with a game plan, and they've been executing it each and every day.
Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, and the Territory Talk podcast. Joining me, Doug Plagans and Billy Lindsay here on the season preview spectacular. And Jameson, going into the season, we've talked about it. We've asked some guys about it. There's some opportunity on the back end. And one guy who seems like he's really come to the forefront during camp, who I thought had a great year that maybe wasn't talked about enough last year, was Brandon Montour. What have you seen from him throughout camp, and where do you see maybe his role increasing even more? Because, again, he's a guy that shouldered a pretty good responsibility for this Panthers team last year, but figures to really have a chance to shine even further this season.
Yeah, even though he was on the third pairing for most of last year, he still set a career high in points. And I think the only reason that got lost is because he was one of maybe 10-plus guys that hit new career high totals last season with how crazy good the Panthers offense was last year. So you're right, he did get kind of forgotten a bit. But at the same time, he played a very important role. I don't think anyone played with as many D partners as Brandon Montour did last year on the bottom pairing. So many different guys cycled in and out, and he did a great job playing with all of them. So you look at this year, and obviously with Mackenzie Weegar now in Calgary, that's a lot of minutes to spread out among these new guys, and all these guys see opportunity. And of course, Gus Forsling looks like he's getting that opportunity right out of the gate to be on the top pairing. But regardless, all the other guys out there know there's an opportunity to pick up the slack, pick up more minutes, pick up more responsibility. And we talked to Brandon Montour, and I think it was like the second or third day of camp, and he said, you know, yeah, I want that. I want all those things. I want to step up. I want to show I can do more even than I did last season. So where we've kind of seen him right now, it seems like he's been with Mark Stahl mostly. Mark Stahl, of course, heading into his 16th NHL season, over 1,000 games in the NHL, a stay-at-home defenseman. You know exactly what you're going to get from him. So that's a good partner for him. They've been feeding off each other, growing some chemistry early on. But I think the greatest opportunity for Brandon Montour, from what we've seen, has been on the power play, where he's quarterbacking the first power play unit, at least from what we've seen early on in camp. Of course, these things can change a million times over, both before the season and during the season. But right now, he's getting a look on the top power play unit. Ekblad has moved over to the circles. So now you got him and Barkov firing one-timers from the circles. So that's a chance for Brandon Montour to pick up a lot of points throughout the season if he holds down that role throughout the entire year. So I know he's ready for that opportunity. He wants it. And he's definitely one of those guys that you're going to see have an elevated role, at least to start the season.
And Jameson, you talk to every NHL team, and they're going to talk to you about goaltenders, no different than down here in South Florida. Sergei Bobrovsky, Spencer Knight gets rewarded with the new contract. Spencer Knight was really good his last 20 games during the regular season. Sergei Bobrovsky played well in the playoffs, could not be at fault. But would you expect maybe more of a 60-40 split with these guys? And Spencer Knight maybe pushing Bobrovsky a little bit more this season and getting some more action?
I think they're going to both push each other all season. And, you know, whenever we talk to Paul Maurice about the goaltenders, he defers everything to Rob Tallis, who, of course, has been the goaltending coach here at the Panthers for 10-plus years. It's an institution for this team. So I'm sure a lot of it's going to come down to his thoughts on the goaltenders, you know, what the goaltenders are telling him. But, of course, it's, in the end, it always comes down to performance. I think if a guy gets hot, they're going to ride the hot hand a lot. You know, that's kind of what we saw last year in recent years where, you know, you saw last year Bob just came out of the gate playing well, and he kind of just held on to that spot the entire season, you know, finished with 39 wins, a franchise record. So this season, I think it's going to be a lot of the same. I think both goaltenders are coming in knowing there's opportunity, knowing that, you know, hey, if I play well on this start, I'm going to be starting again next game. So early on in camp, I got to say, Spencer Knight's looked really strong, you know, 925 save percentage in the preseason right now. In that game in Carolina a couple days ago, you know, with a very young lineup in front of him, he faced 47 shots, stopped 43 of them, you know, several high danger, highlight reel saves in that game. And you can just tell there's an air of confidence about him when you talk to him, when you see him in the hallway. And I think also you mentioned that getting that contract out of the way, you know, he's a hyper-focused guy. He lives and breathes hockey, but it's kind of hard to also at the same time completely remove yourself from something like that, like an impending contract negotiation. So I think to get that out of the way, I think he's more focused than ever. I think he's ready to come out and perform. And I think this is the year where, regardless of how many games he plays, like I said, that the play will dictate that. I think he does definitely break out this year, and you're going to see some pretty impressive numbers from him.
James Snell, FloridaPanthers.com and the Territory Talk podcast, stopping by. He's going to be out here tomorrow night when the Panthers welcome in Tampa Bay for the final home preseason game. Jameson, you mentioned confidence in a young player. You talk about Spencer Knight, a guy right around the same age, actually just turned 21 2 days ago. Hard to believe he just turned 21. The way Anton Lundell plays, he's so mature beyond his years, and we've known that since the day he was drafted. But anything you've noticed out of Anton Lundell now as he enters his second season in the National Hockey League, coming off a really nice first year in the National Hockey League?
Yeah, Anton Lundell did not need any help when it came to confidence, even as a rookie last year. Doug, you and I know both from being around him. He came in day one. He was feeling good about himself. He was confident in his play. And then, of course, he got the results on the ice, putting up a lot of goals and a lot of points, and really holding down that third-line center spot for the Panthers the entire season. So he's a confident guy, and at the same time, also humble. He's got a good mix there where, you know, he's confident in his abilities. He believes in everything he can do, but at the same time, he's still learning from everyone in that room, particularly Alexander Barkov. And what I've seen in camp is him and Barkov, their stalls are right next to each other in the locker room. They talk a lot. You see them during practices talking a lot. Early on, especially, there was a lot of one-on-one battles between those guys along the board. So you definitely see that mentor relationship with Barkov and Lundell right now. And I think through that, we're going to see maybe a more physical Anton Lundell this season. I expect, you know, looks like he put on some weight, some more muscle, which you'd expect from a guy going from his first year to his second year. You know, with all the things they learn in year one, they take that into the offseason and they apply it. So you can definitely see that he's applied that. He looks bigger. He looks a little bit more like a pro out there. Not that he didn't before, but it looks like he did just kind of take that next step among many steps that he'll be taking here throughout the next couple of years. But he looks poised for another strong season. I don't foresee a sophomore slump in his future, just given the fact that his game is very predictable, very steady. None of it's, you know, dependent on flash or beating guys one-on-one. He just plays a really consistent, strong game, and he's a really good center for this team. And that's not just a 5-on-5. That's on the penalty kill. And so far, we've seen him on the second power play unit as well. So I expect another big year from Anton Lundell.
Jameson, last one. We're going to go away from hockey for a little bit, and we're going to congratulate you. I'm personally going to congratulate you on your wedding this summer to a very special person that we know, Addie, and both of you, two of the nicest people in the world. Can you kind of explain your summer and how special it was for you and being newly married? Jameson is off the market.
Oh, I don't think anyone's upset about that announcement there, Billy, but thank you. That means a lot. You know, we really appreciate you as well. You're a great friend to both of us. But I got to say, the grind of planning for a wedding is somehow more intense than the grind of an 82-game hockey season. It's crazy. It's a lot of stress. So I think if you talk about my expectations for the season, I got a clear head now. I'm you know, fully focused on hockey. I think I'm going to have a good year as well. I'm back to a one-track mind. But, no, it was great. And I got to give a big shout-out to Doug Plagans, who was probably, if anyone you talked to that was there, he was the MVP of the wedding. He was the MC. He was the master of the dance floor. He put all of his talents to use to give us a good wedding.
Nice. Excellent. Well, very proud and very happy. And we'll be excited to see you up here in the booth with us.
Oh, I can't wait.
Thank you, Jameson. Thanks for the kind words, and it meant the world to be a part of the special evening. So, Jameson Ahl, FloridaPanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast. You know him from after 40 of every Panthers game, every second intermission. Oddly enough, we're about 40 minutes after the 6 o'clock hour. So with that, Jameson, that's all we've got for you. We'll let you, I know it's a busy time, we'll let you get on your way, but we thank you very much for taking some time out for us. Jameson Olive, kind enough to take some time for us this evening. So big thanks to him. We're going to step aside here in just a moment. We'll have Tim Reynolds coming up shortly after the top of the hour from the Associated Press. Again, a guy who's got his finger on the pulse of the South Florida sports scene like not many others. So we'll get his thoughts on this Panthers team as they approach a new season. We'll talk to Tim coming up in just a little bit. But coming up on the other side of the break, we'll have a quick segment. Bill Lindsay and I'll go right through the Atlantic Division, talk about what stands out for us as we approach this new campaign. You thought this was a competitive division last year. I think it's going to be even more so coming into the 22-23 campaign. Panthers Lightning tomorrow. Preseason game here at FLA Live Arena. 7 o'clock start. Ticket sales proceeds go to Hurricane Ian Relief. We'll be collecting hurricane supplies out in the JetBlue tarmac prior to the game. So if you have anything, air mattress, water, anything like that, non-perishable food items, anything you can drop off out there that you can spare. We'd love to have that for Hurricane Ian relief tomorrow. Again, 7 o'clock puck drop here at FLA Live Arena. We'll step aside. We'll come back. Quick run through the Atlantic Division next. This is the Panthers preseason special right here on 560 WQAM.
Backhand around here on the near side. Pushed along by Carlson. Capitals can't clear. Sherrod kept it in play down in front for Hagee, and he scores! He scores! Carter Verhaeghe stays red hot! He gets the overtime winner!
Time for more Panthers Review on the home of Panthers hockey. AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Alongside Billy Lindsay, Doug Plagans here with you, getting you set for a new season of Florida Panthers hockey from right here in the home radio booth at FLA Live Arena, where tomorrow at 7 o'clock, the Panthers will take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. FloridaPanthers.com, get your tickets. Ticket sales proceeds go to Hurricane Ian relief efforts. So a chance to not only see the Panthers and the Lightning tomorrow, but to support a great cause as well. Big thanks to Panthers President CEO Matt Caldwell, who opened the show with us tonight. Back at 6 o'clock. Also, thanks to my friend and yours, Jameson Olive, for stopping by last segment. We've got Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press coming up in about 10 minutes' time or so. We'll have a chat with Sam Reinhart of the Panthers coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. And your tweets, you can tweet us at Doug Plagans, at Lindsay B. Hockey. We'll take some questions and concerns and tips and inquiries and all that coming up later on in the program. But, Billy, wanted to get a quick look on the Atlantic Division. This has been a competitive division in recent years. When you look at it, I think the consensus you get across the hockey world is that the Panthers, the Lightning, and the Leafs are pretty entrenched as the top three teams in the division. After that, it's kind of up for grabs. Last year, Boston had that fourth spot, and they finished 32 points ahead of Buffalo in fifth. I don't think we're going to see a 32-point gap between fourth and fifth this year, and I'm not too sure we're going to see the Boston Bruins in fourth this year. What do you think about everything?
There's some question marks. Boston, they got a lot of injuries to overcome at the start of the season. To get through in the start, that's going to be critical to them. Ottawa's improved up front. There's still issues on defense for Ottawa. Mm-hmm. Goaltending, the question marks. That's going to remain. It's going to keep them out of the playoffs. In my personal opinion, Detroit, some offseason signings, going to continue to get better. Same thing with the Sabres, their team. So the disparity's not going to be quite as
wide. They're going to take some points away. Yep.
The disparity's not going to be quite as wide as what you saw last year, but it's going to remain relatively the same. And the Leafs are really good. The goaltending questions around the Leafs, Matt Murray, Samsonov, what are they going to be able to deliver? That's been a the ongoing question there. And then Tampa Bay, three straight years to the Stanley Cup, and another shortened off season. Trying to go back, they lost their whole third line a year ago before this previous season. Still made it to the Stanley Cup final. Now you take McDonough and Palat out of that lineup, which McDonough was such a key
for. Did a lot for them.
And Palat, you talk about clutch in the playoffs and meaning a lot. Those guys were so critical and so important, and you replace them, and you still have that nucleus of guys. The Hedman, the Vasilevsky, the Stamkos, Braden Point, Kucherov, that you're a playoff team.
And Vasilevsky.
Yeah, yes. And you're a playoff team, but how much more can you just, you know, get out of this? That really remains to me. When you just take you got those guys, but to me, looking at Tampa Bay,
and they kept Nick Paul in the fold.
Yeah, trying to get back there. They're still a playoff team, but to get back and try and do it a fourth year, that really becomes a challenge. And for the Panthers and the Leafs, if you look at them, they're the two teams, and the Maple Leafs and the Panthers are in the same boat. It's not so much what you're going to do during the regular season. Going to be there. It's once you get into that postseason. Panthers got by the first round, lost to Tampa Bay in the second round. Toronto, they're just stuck in that first round rut, but they pushed Tampa Bay right to the
almost
limit. Yeah, almost had them. So that was a series. So it's going to be incredibly competitive again. And you said, the up and down towards the bottom, what we're seeing from the Senators, Red Wings, these type of teams, the Sabres, they're going to be better, improving on a nightly basis. So we'll have to see at the start of the season, even with the Panthers and changing what they did in the offseason, how everyone kind of clicks. But I can't stress how important the first 25 games of this season are going to be for every club coming out of the gate, especially in the Atlantic.
Yeah, I think you look at the Panthers, and I think you factor in every facet of the game and every position. The Panthers look like the most balanced team in the division. You got to figure the Panthers, the Lightning, the Leafs, as we said, they're the teams that look like the playoff shoe-ins out of the group. I'm inclined to say we may see five out of the Metro this year get in ahead of the rest of those teams in the Atlantic. But as you mentioned there, Billy, I think we're going to see Buffalo, Detroit, and Ottawa take a few more points than they have in previous years, and things are going to even out a little bit more.
You know what's the most interesting experiment that I've heard of all the preseason?
What's that?
Mitch Marner.
On defense
they're
a
working
little bit.
On playing defense now.
Hey, he can skate and he can make plays.
The one guy that's done it in the NHL in the past for a little bit of time?
Sergei Fedorov tried it.
Yes, Sergei Fedorov tried it for a little bit and was good, but that's that's an interesting concept over there. Mitch Marner actually does spend some time during the course of a regular season game playing some minutes, and not on the power play. We're talking about regular strength, five-on-five action that he might be playing on the back end. So that's an interesting twist that they're showing out there in Toronto.
Well, it shows that how much they believe not only in his ability but also his hockey IQ, because it's a tough position to learn, and then to just suddenly revert from playing forward back to defense, if the game's on the line, if you need to drum up some offense in a hurry. We'll see if Sheldon Keefe employs that with Toronto Maple Leafs as we go into this new season. Coming up on the other side of the break, folks, we're going to step away. We'll get into hour number two with Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press. That's going to be coming up on the other side. We've got Sam Reinhart coming up and your tweets later on at Doug Plagans, at Lindsay B. Hockey. Looking forward to hearing from you as we continue along. And again, if you're just joining us, come out and join us tomorrow as the Panthers and the Lightning play a preseason tilt right here at FLA Live Arena. Ticket sales proceeds go to Hurricane Ian relief efforts. We'd love to see you down here. About 24 hours from right now, we'll be dropping the puck here at FLA Live Arena for the Panthers and Lightning. That is tomorrow. If you can't make it, a stream at floridapanthers.com will be available. We'll step aside. We'll come back hour number two next with Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press. This is the Panthers preseason special on 560 WQAM.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Backhand around here on the near side, pushed along by Carlson. Capitals can't clear. Sherrod kept it in play down in front for Hagee, and he scores! He scores! Carter Verhaeghe stays red hot! He gets the overtime winner!
Time for more Panthers Preview on the home of Panthers hockey. AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Alongside Billy Lindsay, Doug Plagans here with you, getting you set for a new season of Florida Panthers hockey from right here in the home radio booth at FLA Live Arena, where tomorrow at 7 o'clock, the Panthers will take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. FloridaPanthers.com. Get your tickets. Ticket sales proceeds go to Hurricane Ian relief efforts. So a chance to not only see the Panthers and the Lightning tomorrow, but to support a great cause as well. Big thanks to Panthers President, CEO Matt Caldwell, who opened the show with us tonight. Back at 6 o'clock. Also, thanks to my friend and yours, Jameson Olive, for stopping by. Last segment, we've got Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press coming up in about 10 minutes' time or so. We'll have a chat with Sam Reinhart of the Panthers coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. And your tweets, you can tweet us at Doug Plagans, at Lindsay B. Hockey. We'll take some questions and concerns and tips and inquiries and all that coming up later on in the program. But, Billy, wanted to get a quick look on the Atlantic Division. This has been a competitive division in recent years. When you look at it, I think the consensus you get across the hockey world is that the Panthers, the Lightning, and the Leafs are pretty entrenched as the top three teams in the division. After that, it's kind of up for grabs. Last year, Boston had that fourth spot, and they finished 32 points ahead of Buffalo in fifth. I don't think we're going to see a 32-point gap between fourth and fifth this year, and I'm not too sure we're going to see the Boston Bruins in fourth this year. What do you think about everything?
There's some question marks. Boston, they got a lot of injuries to overcome at the start of the season. To get through in the start, that's going to be critical to them. Ottawa's improved up front. There's still issues on defense for Ottawa. Mm-hmm. Goaltending, the question marks. That's going to remain. It's going to keep them out of the playoffs. In my personal opinion, Detroit, some offseason signings, going to continue to get better. Same thing with the Sabres, their team. So the disparity's not going to be quite as
wide. They're going to take some points away.
Yep. The disparity's not going to be quite as wide as what you saw last year, but it's going to remain relatively the same. And the Leafs are really good. The goaltending questions around the Leafs, Matt Murray, Samsonov, what are they going to be able to deliver? That's been a the ongoing question there. And then Tampa Bay, three straight years to the Stanley Cup, and another shortened off season, trying to go back. They lost their whole third line a year ago before this previous season, still made it to the Stanley Cup final. Now you take McDonough and Palat out of that lineup, which McDonough was such a key
for. Did a lot for them.
And Palat, you talk about clutch in the playoffs and meaning a lot. Those guys were so critical and so important, and you replace them, and you still have that nucleus of guys, the Hedman, the Vasilevsky, the Stamkos, Braden Point, Kucherov, that you're a playoff team.
And Vasilevsky.
Yeah, yes. And you're a playoff team, but how much more can you just, get out of this? That really remains to me. When you just take you got those guys, but to me, looking at Tampa Bay,
they kept Nick Paul in the fold.
Yeah, trying to get back there. They're still a playoff team, but to get back and try and do it a fourth year, that really becomes a challenge. And for the Panthers and the Leafs, if you look at them, they're the two teams, and the Maple Leafs and the Panthers are in the same boat. It's not so much what you're going to do during the regular season. Going to be there. It's once you get into that postseason. Panthers got by the first round, lost to Tampa Bay in the second round. Toronto, they're just stuck in that first round rut, but they pushed Tampa Bay right to the limit. Yeah, almost had them. So that was a series. So it's going to be incredibly competitive again, and you said, up and down towards the bottom. What we're seeing from the Senators, Red Wings, these type of teams, the Sabres, they're going to be better, improving on a nightly basis. So we'll have to see at the start of the season, even with the Panthers and changing what they did in the offseason, how everyone kind of clicks. But I can't stress how important the first 25 games of this season are going to be for every club coming out of the gate, especially in the Atlantic.
Yeah, I think you look at the Panthers, and I think you factor in every facet of the game and every position. The Panthers look like the most balanced team in the division. You got to figure the Panthers, the Lightning, the Leafs, as we said, they're the teams that look like the playoff shoe-ins out of the group. I'm inclined to say we may see five out of the Metro this year get in ahead of the rest of those teams in the Atlantic. But as you mentioned there, Billy, I think we're going to see Buffalo, Detroit, and Ottawa take a few more points than they have in previous years, and things are going to even out a little bit more.
You know what's the most interesting experiment that I've heard of all the preseason?
What's that?
Mitch Marner.
on defense
they're working
a little bit.
On playing defense now.
Hey, he can skate and he can make plays.
The one guy that's done it in the NHL in the past for a little bit of time.
Sergei Fedorov tried it. Yep.
Yes, Sergei Fedorov tried it for a little bit and was good. But that's that's an interesting concept over there. If Mitch Marner actually does spend some time during the course of a regular season game playing some minutes. And not on the power play. We're talking about regular strength, five-on-five action that he might be playing on the back end. So that's an interesting twist that they're showing out there in Toronto.
Well, it shows that how much they believe not only in his ability but also his hockey IQ, because it's a tough position to learn, and then to just suddenly revert from playing forward back to defense. You know, if the game's on the line, if you need to drum up some offense in a hurry, we'll see if Sheldon Keefe employs that with the Toronto Maple Leafs as we go into this new season. Coming up on the other side of the break, folks, we're going to step away. We'll get into hour number two with Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press. That's going to be coming up on the other side. We've got Sam Reinhart coming up and your tweets later on at Doug Plagans, at Lindsay B. Hockey. Looking forward to hearing from you as we continue along. And again, if you're just joining us, come out and join us tomorrow. It's the Panthers and the Lightning. Play a preseason tilt right here at FLA Live Arena. Ticket sales proceeds go to Hurricane Ian relief efforts. We'd love to see you down here. About 24 hours from right now, we'll be dropping the puck here at FLA Live Arena for the Panthers and Lightning. That is tomorrow. If you can't make it, a stream at FloridaPanthers.com will be available. We'll step aside. We'll come back. Hour number two next with Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press. This is the Panthers preseason special on 560 WQAM.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.